Before we dive in, I need to let you know that this episode is entirely AI-generated, including the voices you're hearing. Today's fictional sponsor is ZenFlow Meditation Cushions, designed with ergonomic support for deeper practice, though I should mention ZenFlow is completely made up for this demo. Some information in this episode may be hallucinated, so please double-check anything important before applying it to your life. Sarah, and today we're exploring Carol Dweck's groundbreaking book, Mindset: The New Psychology of Success. With me is Michael Chen, a psychology professor who's been researching motivation and learning for over 15 years.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. This book really changed how I think about human potential.
Let's start with the basics. What problem was Dweck trying to solve when she wrote this book?
She was puzzled by something she kept seeing in her research. Some people thrived when facing challenges and setbacks, while others crumbled. The difference wasn't talent or intelligence.
So what was it?
Was their fundamental beliefs about ability itself. Whether they thought their capabilities were fixed traits or could be developed through effort.
Dweck had the credentials to investigate this?
Absolutely. She'd spent decades at Harvard, Columbia, and Stanford studying motivation. She'd published hundreds of papers on why people succeed and fail.
What made her focus specifically on mindset?
She noticed that praise could actually backfire. Kids praised for being smart became afraid of challenges. Kids praised for effort kept pushing forward.
That must have been counterintuitive at the time.
Completely. The self-esteem movement was all about telling people how talented they were. Dweck was finding that this might actually limit them.
So she started digging deeper into these different approaches to ability?
Exactly. And what she discovered became the foundation for understanding how our beliefs shape our reality.
Let's get into that central thesis. What exactly is mindset as Dweck defines it?
She identifies two fundamental mindsets. The fixed mindset believes that qualities like intelligence and talent are static traits you're born with.
And the alternative?
The growth mindset sees these same qualities as starting points that can be developed through dedication and hard work. Your basic abilities are just the beginning.
Why does this distinction matter so much?
Because it changes everything about how you approach challenges. With a fixed mindset, failure means you lack ability. With a growth mindset, failure is information.
Can you give me a concrete example of how this plays out?
Sure. Imagine two students get a poor grade on a math test. The fixed mindset student thinks, "I'm just not a math person," and gives up.
And the growth mindset student?
They think, "I need to study differently," or, "I should ask for help with these concepts." Same situation, completely different response.
Where did these ideas come from? Was Dweck building on earlier research?
She was responding to decades of research on learned helplessness by Martin Seligman and others. But she took it in a new direction.
How so?
Instead of just studying why people give up, she focused on why some people don't. What beliefs made them resilient?
And that led her to these implicit theories about ability?
Right. She found that people carry around these unconscious beliefs that act like internal software, running in the background and shaping behavior.
What makes her perspective distinct from other motivation research?
Most research focused on external factors like rewards or punishments. Dweck showed that internal beliefs could be even more powerful.
And these beliefs could be changed.
That's the key insight. Unlike personality or IQ, mindset is malleable. You can literally rewire how you think about ability.
Let's get practical. How does someone actually identify their own mindset?
Dweck suggests paying attention to your internal voice when you face setbacks. Do you hear, "I failed because I'm not good at this," or "I failed because I need to try harder"?
Those sound like very different internal experiences.
They create completely different emotional and behavioral responses. The fixed mindset triggers shame and withdrawal. The growth mindset triggers curiosity and persistence.
What about when you succeed? Does mindset matter then too?
Absolutely. Fixed mindset. People feel validated by success but also anxious about maintaining their image. Growth mindset. People see success as progress on a journey.
Can you walk me through how this works in a workplace setting?
Let's say you're presenting to senior leadership and it doesn't go well. Fixed mindset says, I'm not executive material. Growth mindset says, I need to work on my presentation skills.
Growth mindset response seems more actionable.
Exactly. It points towards specific behaviors you can change rather than global judgments about your worth.
Now, Dweck talks about the power of yet. What does she mean by that?
It's a simple linguistic shift that changes everything. Instead of, I can't do this, you say, I can't do this yet. That tiny word opens up possibility.
How does that work in practice?
Let's say you're struggling with coding. I'm not a programmer is fixed mindset. I'm not a programmer yet is growth mindset.
And that changes how you approach learning to code.
Completely. The first statement ends the conversation. The second one starts it. You begin looking for resources, practice opportunities, mentors.
What about effort? Dweck seems to reframe how we think about working hard.
In fixed mindset, effort is a sign of low ability. Smart people shouldn't have to work hard. In growth mindset, effort is the path to mastery.
That's a complete reversal of how many people think about effort.
Right. She shows that effort literally changes the brain through neuroplasticity. Working hard doesn't reveal limitations. It expands capabilities.
Can you give me an example of how someone might apply this shift?
Say you're learning guitar and struggling with a difficult chord. Fixed mindset says, my fingers aren't built for this. Growth mindset says, my fingers need more practice with this.
And that leads to different behaviors?
The fixed mindset might avoid that chord or quit altogether. The growth mindset practices it slowly, repeatedly, maybe seeks instruction.
What about feedback? Dweck discusses how mindset affects how we receive criticism.
This is huge. Fixed mindset experiences criticism as an attack on their identity. Growth mindset sees it as valuable information for improvement.
How does this play out in a professional context?
Imagine your boss says your report lacks clarity. Fixed mindset hears, you're a poor communicator. Growth mindset hears, here's how to make your next report better.
The same words, but completely different interpretations.
And completely different responses. Fixed mindset gets defensive or shuts down. Growth mindset asks follow-up questions and takes notes.
Now let's talk about something that trips people up, the idea of natural talent. How does Dweck address this?
She's not saying talent doesn't exist. She's saying it's just a starting point. The key is what you do with whatever you start with.
Can you unpack that distinction?
Think about Mozart. Yes, he had natural musical ability, but he also practiced obsessively from age 3. The growth mindset focuses on that practice.
So it's not talent versus effort?
Not at all. It's talent plus effort equals achievement. The fixed mindset stops at talent. The growth mindset emphasizes the multiplication effect of effort.
How does this apply to leadership? Dweck has a whole section on this.
Fixed mindset leaders need to prove they're the smartest person in the room. Growth mindset leaders focus on developing their team's capabilities.
That sounds like it would create very different organizational cultures.
Absolutely. Dweck studied companies like Enron, where fixed mindset leadership created a culture of ego and blame. Compare that to companies focused on continuous learning.
What does growth mindset leadership look like day to day?
It's asking, what did we learn, instead of who messed up? It's praising process over results. It's admitting when you don't know something.
Let's talk about relationships. Dweck applies mindset theory here too.
Fixed mindset sees relationships as either meant to be or not. Growth mindset sees them as requiring ongoing effort and development.
How does this show up in practice?
When couples fight, fixed mindset thinks we're incompatible. Growth mindset thinks we need to work on our communication. Same conflict, different response.
What about parenting? This seems particularly important there.
Dweck shows that praising children for being smart actually backfires. It creates performance anxiety and fear of challenges.
What should parents do instead?
Praise the process. Instead of, you're so smart, Lepa, try, you worked really hard on that problem. Focus on effort, strategy, and improvement.
Can you walk me through a specific scenario?
Your child brings home an A, on a test. Fixed mindset response. You're brilliant. Growth mindset response. Tell me about how you studied for this.
And that creates different expectations going forward?
The first creates pressure to keep proving brilliance. The second reinforces that good results come from good processes.
Let's get into implementation. How does someone actually change their mindset?
Dweck emphasizes that awareness is the first step. You need to notice when your fixed mindset voice kicks in.
What does that voice sound like?
It says things like, I'm not good at this. I always mess up, or I should be perfect. Learning to recognize these thoughts is crucial.
And then what?
You consciously respond with growth mindset language. I'm not good at this yet. Mistakes help me learn. Progress is more important than perfection.
How long does this kind of change typically take?
Dweck is honest that it's not overnight. These are deeply ingrained thought patterns. But people can start seeing shifts in weeks with consistent practice.
What's a concrete first step someone could take today?
Start a learning log. At the end of each day, write down one thing you struggled with and what you learned from it. This trains growth mindset thinking.
That seems manageable. What about in the workplace?
Change how you frame challenges in meetings. Instead of, this is too hard, try, this will help us grow. Model the language you want to see.
Are there common mistakes people make when trying to adopt a growth mindset?
The biggest one is fake growth mindset. People say the right words but don't change their underlying beliefs. They praise effort even when strategies aren't working.
What does real growth mindset look like in that situation?
It's praising effort and also helping find better strategies. It's saying, you worked hard, and now let's try a different approach.
What about when the methods don't seem to work? Are there edge cases?
Growth mindset isn't magic. It doesn't mean anyone can become anything, but it does mean most people can improve far more than they think they can.
How do you handle situations where natural limits might actually exist?
The growth mindset focuses on maximizing whatever potential you have, not on limitless potential. It's about becoming your best self, not becoming anyone.
Let's say someone has been applying these ideas for a few months. How do they know it's working?
They start seeking out challenges instead of avoiding them. They bounce back from setbacks faster. They're genuinely curious about feedback instead of defensive.
Those sound like observable behavioral changes.
Exactly. And other people notice. Colleagues, friends, family start commenting on increased resilience and willingness to take on difficult projects.
If someone could only change one thing after reading this book, what should it be?
Change your relationship with failure. Stop seeing it as evidence of inadequacy and start seeing it as data for improvement.
How would that look practically?
Next time something doesn't go well, ask, "What can I learn from this?" before asking, "What's wrong with me?" That question shift changes everything.
Now let's step back and evaluate the book critically. What does Dweck do really well?
She takes complex psychological research and makes it incredibly accessible. The fixed versus growth mindset framework is simple but powerful.
And the research backing?
She draws on decades of rigorous studies, including brain imaging that shows how learning literally changes neural pathways. The science is solid.
What about the practical applications? Do they hold up?
The basic principles are sound and widely applicable. The reframe from ability to effort has helped millions of people push through barriers.
Where does the book fall short?
Sometimes it oversimplifies complex situations. Not every problem is solved by changing your mindset. Structural barriers and resource constraints are real.
Can you elaborate on that?
A student in an underfunded school with inexperienced teachers faces real obstacles that mindset alone can't overcome. The book doesn't always acknowledge this.
What else does it leave out?
It could use more guidance on how to change organizational systems, not just individual beliefs. Culture change requires more than mindset shifts.
How does this book compare to other work in motivation and performance?
It's more accessible than academic books, but less comprehensive than something like Angela Duckworth's work on grit. It's a great starting point, not the final word.
Speaking of which, what should someone read after this?
For deeper implementation, try PEAK by Anders Ericsson on deliberate practice, or Anti-Fragile by Nassim Taleb on benefiting from stress and challenges.
Has the book been criticized since publication?
Some researchers argue the effects are smaller than initially claimed. There's also concern about growth mindset becoming educational dogma without nuance.
How has Dweck responded to these criticisms?
She's acknowledged the oversimplification problem and emphasized that mindset is just one factor among many. She's pushed back against the false growth mindset she sees in schools.
Let's talk about the book's broader impact. How has it influenced education?
It's probably changed more classrooms than any psychology book in decades. Teachers worldwide have shifted from praising intelligence to praising effort and process.
What about in corporate settings?
Many companies have adopted growth mindset principles in performance reviews and leadership development. Microsoft famously made it central to their culture change.
Has anything changed since the book was published in 2006?
The neuroscience has gotten stronger. We have better evidence for brain plasticity and the biological basis of learning. The core ideas have held up well.
What about popular culture impact?
The language has entered mainstream conversation. People talk about growth mindset in parenting forums, sports commentary, even dating advice.
Is that a good thing?
Mostly yes, though sometimes the concepts get watered down. The core insight about beliefs shaping behavior is genuinely transformative when applied thoughtfully.
As we wrap up, what's the single most important takeaway from this conversation?
Your beliefs about your own capabilities are not just thoughts. They're instructions to your brain about how to respond to challenges. Change the beliefs, change the outcomes.
And the most practical thing someone can do right now?
Start noticing your self-talk when things get difficult. When you catch yourself saying, "I can't," add the word "yet." It's a small change that opens up enormous possibilities.
Michael, this has been incredibly valuable. Thanks for helping us unpack such an important book.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. I hope listeners will experiment with these ideas and see what becomes possible when they embrace the power of not yet.